Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
When will our eyes meet? When can I touch you? Hey, it's Brian Beebe at our new time. We're trying out this Wednesday night at 5 o'clock thing in hopes that we can get more people to call in because everybody was working at 3 o'clock. And you might be on your way home from work right now and maybe can talk while you're driving home. Anyway, I'm brought to you again by Madison Bar and Monk's Bar and Grill. We're on madisontalks.com. Monk's Bar and Grill in six locations in Wisconsin, and by Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells. And a big thank you to Mike Brockenfeld in the control room, who's turning the knobs and getting everything. And he had a rush job to do because we've changed the times and everything was. So we're starting a little bit late, but. I hope that you will call in. I'm going to give you some reasons to call in. The number is 608-210-1667. But, oops, what happened? Are we off? So anyway, we'll talk a little bit today about did you survive Black Friday and Cyber Monday? Did you buy Christmas presents or did you buy stuff for yourself? Be honest. Call us at 608-210-1667. I have found through many years of buying things for kids and grandkids, that unbreakable toys are really good for one particular thing, and that's breaking other toys. You can use your unbreakable toy to break your other toys. There you go. Don't tell the kids I said that. Anyway, let's talk a little bit today about what everybody's talking about, the sexual harassment stuff. Men are bad, and women are victims, and I don't know. I have a few things to say about it, and I hope that you will call in with questions and comments, and I'll play your holiday songs. I'll play anything but Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Okay, any Christmas song you want, except no, I'll even play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. If you call in and ask for that one, I will definitely do it. I wanted to say, and then we got going a little bit late, so I'm going to cut my opening remarks a little short and then hope that you'll call in on the break or after the break. But anyway, how do you flirt nowadays? How do you flirt in an office situation? Let's just say I'm a man working in an office and I got my eye on this other office worker. And I come up to her and I say, something about she looks great, she looks wonderful. I haven't touched her or anything, but would you like to go out or anything like that? I might say, do you want to meet for a drink after work sometime? You know, and she refuses me. Okay, she says no, I'm not interested at all. Okay, and then just because I want to show her that I'm serious and I'm persistent, I go back and ask her again. Is that harassment? I mean, men have always had to ask a few times, don't they? I mean, girls traditionally have made a point of not accepting an offer from a man at the first time.
It's a thin line to cross from being pushy.
Yeah, and then and women are conditioned to not appear too eager, you know. So even if they did want to go out with me or that man or whoever it is in the office, They might not say so on the first ask, you know. So then the guy goes back and asks a second time, and okay, this time she's more interested, or this time she she repeats herself and says, I wouldn't go out with you if you're the last guy on earth, or what, something like that. Has he been harassing if he went back and asked her again? What about a third time if she's refused? I don't know. It seems like the rules for getting a date are changing at the same time as these rules for sexual harassment are coming to the fore. Matt Lauer, who would have ever thought that mild-mannered Matt Lauer, all seemingly very polite and mild-mannered, and has been for years harassing his subordinates, a married man, and fired right away. Last night, I was driving home from my sister's in Rockford, and I was listening to PBS. And after it was This American Life, or All Things Considered, or something, did a show about women in tech, in the tech industry, and how their numbers are fairly low. Okay. And they went ahead and explained that a lot of girls choose not to go into math and the things that programming, coding, and things like that that it takes to get into tech. But part of this program went into a kind of a side subject that a lot of investors in tech businesses are now being very careful about how their involvement is worded in paper, legalese and on paper, and so that they cannot be touched in the event that somebody in this new startup harasses some woman. Okay, they give them the money, and to this day, basically, investors in a company that starts up are just as liable as anybody else up and down the chain there. And one of the things, and I hope you'll call in and comment about this, but one of the things that came out in this discussion on PBS last night was that tech companies, and I'm afraid that it's going to be all kinds of companies, are hiring less women now to stay out of trouble and keep these things from happening. You know, so they're not liable, and the top guys aren't tempted, or whatever it is, you know. But I'm not saying women are wrong to come forward, because, you know, if they've been wronged, they need to be able to tell somebody. But what happens? You tell me, what happens if the industry in general, not just the tech business, starts hiring less women in their offices or in their whatever the positions might be, because they're male-dominated and they don't want this one woman that they highly qualified to for this position, but they might just turn her down because the place is full of men and she's going to get harassed and she's going to sue them. You know, would they just take that woman's application and turn it over on top of the pile? I mean, it seems like they might, you know, and it's not the answer to the problem, but it just seems to me that it might be the way that if this blows up really big like it has already in the last couple of weeks, people are taking notice, and maybe the guys in the hiring positions of these companies might just take the easy way out and not hire that qualified woman. I mean, you tell me. Okay. That's one of the things that's been on my mind. And here's the other thing. Mike, the sound guy in the control room here, is a musician, and he knows a lot about music of all kinds. And we were talking about thug rap.
Yeah.
And how rap music has been objectifying women for a long, long time. And in their videos, there seems to be a lot of women who are glad to be objectified as long as they can be in a video. But how where does this sexual harassing end? If a woman has been in a thug rap video and afterwards they're taking a break and the thug rapper decides to put his hands on her, does she have anything to fall back on? Does she have a case? If she's
part of a dance company or something,
Up, she's writhing up and down a brass pole, or you know, and what about the strip clubs? Can men that go to strip clubs, are they going to have to sign something?
Is there a strippers union?
Do you think a guy would sign anything to go in if you before going into a, you know, here's my name and address. I'm going to the strip club. I don't know. I'm just trying to look down the road a little bit. Call us, 608-210-1667, with questions, comments, requests, if you have a holiday song you'd like to hear. We can talk about the Packers. I heard Aaron Rodgers was throwing, you know, it was his throwing arm that where he broke the collarbone, and he was throwing recently in practice and feeling pretty good. But I just don't think, do you think the Packers would bring Aaron Rodgers back in the next week or the week after in hopes of getting into the playoffs? Because he can just relax and not throw at all if the Packers under Brett Hundley are just going to keep losing, because they won't be in the playoffs. And they were thinking maybe if they could hold on and win a few games and get into the playoffs, they might bring Aaron Rodgers back then. But I don't know if they would bring him back just to try to get in the bring him back early just to try to get in the playoffs. Doesn't seem like the right play. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about your Black Friday experiences, Cyber Monday. Are you shopping online? Are you going out to stores? It's the Brian Beebe Show on MadisonTalks.com. Give us a call.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
So last Sunday, we were talking about the Packers. They did pretty good against Pittsburgh. They could have won that game. A couple of things, a couple of more mistakes from Pittsburgh, and a couple of more. There were a couple of pretty exciting plays and pretty worthwhile plays. Brett Hundley got a chance to throw the ball and make some plays, and is, but you know, a field goal at the end of the game, the last seconds of the game. There was a couple of mistakes made by the coaches in that particular, in that last minute of the game, because they called for that one pass play. Was it a running play or pass play where the guy ran out of bounds and stopped the clock? If they had let the clock roll, they had a real good chance of getting into overtime. But instead, they ended up throwing the ball and giving the ball back to Pittsburgh with enough time for them to get down the field a little ways and kick a field goal and beat our ass. It was hard to watch, but it wasn't a bad game up until then. In fact, we led by a touchdown for a time. So, anyway, I don't know what to make of the harassment stuff. And I was listening to the radio today, and there was quite a bit of talk about these guys, and like Matt Lauer and Harvey Weinstein, and stuff, completely, instantly knocked down from their whatever pedestal they're on, wherever they're fired right away. They assume the worst. These accusers are all right. They're correct. They have a case, and they fire these guys in the news and entertainment business. Charlie Rose, Bill O'Reilly, they had Rupert Murdoch, but he can't be fired. But so many of the guys in the news biz and on TV are instantly fired. But if you're an elected official or a candidate to be a senator or any elected office, you get the benefit of the doubt somehow, huh? If you're Roy Moore or Donald Trump or Al Franken, he went right back to work, for gosh sakes, you know? Where is the zero tolerance policy there?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, and John Conyers, I mean, that guy had an 80-year-old woman speak out against him for years ago, just going with the flow of all these other people that are coming to the fore and stating their case about these people and the behavior in the past. But what is it about and elected officials, and Mitch Henk always says this same thing, it seems like if our guy is accused of something, we all say, no way, it can't possibly true. But your guy, do you know what I mean? It depends on which side of it you're on, whether you get up in arms about your elected officials. And it seems to me that if they're going to be firing guys like 20 years, Matt Lauer, okay, not a guy who's been in office a year or whatever. This guy has a 20-year history of doing a wonderful job for NBC. You know, I remember Marv Albert had a little trouble with that. No. Do you remember Marv Albert, the sportscaster?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he was gone after, I don't know, somebody saw him in a motel room with this. He wasn't even harassing anybody, I don't think, but they saw him, I don't know, in a motel room or coming out of a motel room dressed in women's clothing. Did you ever hear that? Do you remember that old story?
Yeah.
Now, he was, because I remember it clearly, because one year I went Halloween, I got a blue sport coat, and I put a big NBC sticker on it right here, and I had a shirt and tie. And then underneath, I just had bloomers, women's long panties, basically. And I think I had some white knee highs or something and high heels or something. But I went as Marv Albert. So, and I should have been fired right off the bat for, you know, for dressing up in women's clothes, even if it was I was half women's clothes, and it was a Halloween, so I guess they let me go. But he did come back after a few years and started back kind of where he left off, especially with the NBA. He was excellent with that. En Fuego. He's En Fuego. Anyway, Mike, you got anything to add about this? About this trouble we're facing with this harassment stuff, man?
I think it's crazy. All the politicians that sit in office, they get the benefit of this ridiculous protocol and the cooling off period for the people, the accusers. Like that's just not right. I mean, we all know that. Like,
and there's another case where I think that they will just stop hiring as many women. You know, and of course there are cases on file where a man was harassed by another man, or a man was harassed by a powerful woman, but that's not what we're talking about here. And I think it could cause a real squeeze on the hiring of women in the future. So let's hope that doesn't happen. I don't know if they could. You know, what if there's so many? What if there's so many cases that come to the fore here in this wave of attention that it's getting right now, that they can't even get at them all? They cannot even, and everyone is going to be on appeal, and the appellate court is completely overwhelmed by cases. And so, what do we do? Lower the bar for what's illegal, or what, where you have a case and where you don't? Or do these politicians just hope we're going to ride it out and it'll go away?
I think that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're just thinking that if it doesn't go to court, they don't have anything to worry about. They might as well just stay in office until it blows over.
Yep.
Huh. That's what Trump seems to have done. although he's brought it right back on himself today or yesterday when he started tweeting about the Entertainment Tonight tape or whatever the name of that tape was on that bus where he was talking about grabbing women and they don't do anything, you just kiss them because you're rich and famous, they won't do anything. Anyway, that was kind of buried and gone. Nobody was thinking about that until he came out yesterday or today and said that he now thinks that tape was faked. It wasn't his voice on there. And he actually, when it came out during the campaign, admitted it was him and apologized.
Yeah.
So the story, we know the public has a very short memory. But geez, you wouldn't stir stuff up about yourself, you know, and hope for the best or what? I don't know. I don't understand what's going on anymore. But I agree with Mitch. It isn't helpful to listen to criticism of your guy and say, yeah, but what did Pee Wee Herman used to say? I know you are, but what am I? You know, I mean, just you throw the ball back and say, okay, yeah, no, our guy's not a bad guy. What about your guy and all the things that he's said and done? You know, how does that help? It doesn't get anything fixed or changed or anything. So, anyway, we're using Apple Loops now for our break music, and I love it.
Dig it.
Yeah, we were using some 60s and commercial music, but MadisonTalks.com is now needing some original music, huh? Mike, yeah. you and I are in business. Anyway, it's the Brian Beebe Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells, where I play four nights a week. I'll be right back. Taking your calls.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Like the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. At the dead end, I write the songs. I write the songs. My music makes me dance. I get to fear it, to take a chance. And I wrote some rock and roll so you can move. Music fills your heart. I don't know why we're talking about Barry Manilow right before the show, but I have to tell you, I got to get my piano sorted out here.
That was an interesting patch there.
Yeah, that wasn't what I meant to have, but I liked Barry Manilow. You know, say what you will about Barry himself and his tendencies or whatever. He wrote or got a hold of a lot of great original songs. I'll just give you a little hip. Looks like we made it. Loved each other all the way. Looks like we made it. Remember that one? How about Time in New England took me away. Oh, man. And then there was, of course, it was, her name was Lola. She wore a diamond. No, Rico wore a diamond. She was a showgirl. That was 30 years ago when they used to have a show. Now it's a disco. And that was a big, big, big hit. And how about Spirit Move Me, Angel to a Lifetime, Answer to All Answers in My Mind. That was a... What was that? That was a cool one, though. I used to try to get that in. And then there was, I've done 1,000 songs from fantasies to lies. And this one's so real for me that I'm the one who cries. But I sing it every night, and I fight to keep it in, 'cause this one's for you. This one's for you. This one's for you, wherever you are. And as a little sidelight, the theater that we did our show in, when I did that Sgt. Pepper live show with Cheap Trick out in Vegas a few years back, was the Barry Manilow Theater. It had been the Elvis Presley Theater, because it was the same theater where Elvis did 800 and something shows, consecutive shows. But that was years ago, and Barry Manilow has taken it over. He even took over Elvis's suite and up at the top of the hotel there in the Las Vegas Hilton. And I actually saw Barry Manilow's bed.
Yeah.
And Elvis's bed, it's obviously a marble platform with steps up to the actual bed. And the whole place seemed to be marble and statues and gold, gilt, everything, you know. Barry's got some money. And this producer of this show that we did, Sergeant Pepper Live, was a guy named Bill Edwards. And he rented this suite for a night for an after-show party for all of us. And it was, I heard it was $15,000 a night for this for this place. So
that's nuts.
He had a few bucks. And it was a nice, nice hotel with a had a courtyard outside of this apartment.
Outside basically. Of your room.
Yeah, with a swimming pool and other statues that were, I know, peeing in the pool. You know how those statues, they think it's really funny to get a stone, little stone boy to pee in the pool.
Good imagery. Yeah.
Yeah. They think it's cute for some reason, but I don't know. There was a cool restaurant down in Bradenton Beach when I lived in Florida, too, called Mr. Bones. And it was a New Orleans-flavored restaurant with great food. It was kind of a, I don't know, death-themed place, because when you went in, there was a coffin that they'd made into and had it iced with your beers in it.
Oh, okay.
So you'd grab a beer out of the iced-down coffin for your meal. And then when you went in and sat down, this was a place where they wouldn't give you any ketchup, salt and pepper, anything like that. If you didn't want their food the way they prepared it, tough, don't come back, you know. And they had a skeleton in the corner peeing in the pool. It was a skeleton peeing. So that's what made me think of it. Anyway, I'm going to have to play a song or two, because I thought we'd get some callers about the sexual harassment stuff. We could talk about, just for a second, I don't really know much about it, about the tax hike. Are you calling it a tax hike, a tax cut, tax reform? How does it come off to you from what you've heard about this? And are you listening mostly to Fox or CNN or MSNBC or the nightly news or whatever? Because everybody seems to have a different slant on what's really in this Republican tax bill that our own Ron Johnson here, Republican Senator Ron Johnson, said he was going to hold out, but then he voted to let this bill go to the floor. Yesterday he voted. Doesn't mean he'll vote for the bill itself. He just voted, him and Corker both voted to let it go ahead and be presented for debate by the whole Senate. And he could vote against it still, because he did have problems with it. But what do you think? Does it bother you at all that Trump was down in Missouri today and made a very long speech? And one of the places he was calling it a great big Christmas present to the middle class. Do you remember a time ever in history when the government really gave you any great big Christmas presents? I don't think they do.
The stimulus
package. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That was a great big Christmas.
I remember getting a check from that. Was that a stimulus deal?
Yeah, for sure.
Tried to stimulate the... That was George W. Bush's.
W, yep.
Yeah, the W. He figured that the economy would be stimulated if he gave us all a check for $1,000 or something. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. But I don't remember what we spent it on or... If we spent it on
anything. iPad,
yeah. Oh, you what?
iPad.
You bought an iPad with your stimulus, so that money went overseas.
Yep. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, say what you will. I don't know. Donald Trump, our President Trump, is given to hyperbole at times. He does go over the top. But And he had a very receptive crowd there in Missouri. And so he told him he was giving them a great big, the middle class, a great big Christmas present this year. And, of course, they cheered and they worshiped his holy name, you know, the Donald. Thank you, Donald. And I don't know, who do you believe? Tax hike, tax cut, sunsets, they're talking about sunsets on the tax cuts are in this tax plan. They are giving tax cuts to middle class people, but they dry up in 6 or 8 years. They're just figuring, I guess, that Congress in 6 or 8 years can deal with it, you know. And they would be asking for a tax hike and wouldn't get it, so maybe these tax cuts will last. But definitely the ones that are in the bill for corporations, cutting the rate from 35% to 20% is definitely, those are staying no matter what. So, and I don't know much about that. I hope Mitch Hanks' program is right after this one today, and I hope he talks about the tax bill and sexual harassment a little bit, because I don't know if you listen to Mitch Hanks. Maybe the people who listen to me haven't found Mitch, but he's going to be on right after me today. You don't have to wait. He's coming on at 6 o'clock. And I talked to somebody last night who said he's a little bit to the right for my taste. And I said, in his defense, if Mitch has a guest on that's very right-wing, he tries to draw him to the center. He tries to play the left, the Democratic side of it a little bit. And it isn't very much fun to hear two guys just agreeing and then falling all over each other, a big love fest, you know. So then he'll have somebody on, and he does this. He'll have somebody on from the way left point of view, and then he'll play a devil's advocate and be on the right of that issue just to draw them out, maybe make for a little bit more heated conversation or something. But I like Mitch, and we might not always agree on politics or music. Because he likes, he's a big, I'm not going to tell you who he likes, he can tell you, but we have agreed to disagree about the music because...
It's been a ceasefire.
Yeah, there's a little ceasefire there. I'm not going to bring it up because it just makes him mad, and I'm not even serious about it, Mike. I don't care who he likes. I don't care who he admires and who he sings. He's got a band. He sings. You know, I'm just going to say something right over the air. Thank you, Trish, for introducing me to Kurt Quickle. We had Erica Olson on a couple of weeks ago and in studio guest, and she sings out in front of Kurt Quickle's band, the Retrospects from Madison here. They're very, very, very good at classic rock, sounding just like the records. They have a male singer and a female singer and a great keyboard player by the name of Dr. Paul West. And Kurt plays guitar and Ted Stagg plays drums, and they're really, really good. And I don't know where they're playing, but sometimes Kurt comes up to the Dells and plays at Sorrento's with me, and he just released a thing on Facebook of a cool old video of him and me and Steve Haup, a piano player, doing the Who's what's that song? Oh, Squeeze Box. Remember that song? Mama's got a squeeze box she wears on her chest, and when Daddy comes home, he never gets no rest. She's playing all night. Oh yeah, he rocks it too, man. He doesn't even like that song, and he rocked it, man. But anyway, While I'm at it, I'm just going to say something here about Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Monk's Bar and Grill have been very kind in providing support for this program. But MadisonTalks.com is a website where you can go back and listen to, I've done about 30-something hours of these podcasts. And if you want to dig through my Facebook page or Facebook and look for the videos, go ahead. But if you just want to hear every one of these podcasts, you can go on MadisonTalks.com, all word, MadisonTalks.com, and check, click on my name, Brian Beebe. It's right there on the opening page. And listen to every one of them. They're archived there. You can listen to them 24/7 from now till the internet becomes paid, you know, or not. What are they talking about with the internet now? They're going to regulate it and make sure that the evil people aren't buying ads on Facebook and so they'll make sure that it's all controlled. And so it won't be free. You won't be able to do as many things as you like doing on it. But anyway, go to MadisonTalks.com. And if you call 608-210-1667 with an idea for a show, I wanted to do a show about podcasting itself. And so I'm going to take a minute now and tell you how it has kind of changed my life. I've been doing it for about a year now, and it all came about because I was a guest on Mitch Henk's show back in April of 2016 after Cheap Trick mentioned my name in their acceptance speeches for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I was a celebrity for 3 or 4 days there. And I got asked to be on his show, and it was so fun, and he told me about this idea he was going to have for the podcasting. He said, come on and do one. And I said, okay. And I think they let me do one for free.
Oh, yeah.
To give it a try. And because I didn't believe that I could talk for an hour straight about anything, you know. And it's a good idea to have a few ideas and a few notes. But you'd be surprised how easy it is to just talk. If you know anything about just being acceptable to more than just yourself, you know how to talk to people, you have any kind of personal skills at all, you could do this. I mean, you don't have to be, as long as you're not cussing and swearing or sharing things that are so personal that they're making people uncomfortable or whatever, you could do one of these, and I think they let you do one for free, and then see how you do, and then you can talk to Mitch or Mike about doing some more of them. Podcasting is it's probably already passed, but it's a way for you to do a radio show, basically, that people don't have to tune in for a certain time of day to hear your show. They can find you on the internet based on, let's say, a subject that you covered on your show one time. And if they're interested in that subject, they can check out that show 24/7. And all over the world, by the way. I mean, it's not just here. If you put a hashtag on there and you're using Twitter, anybody, you do a show about the Beatles, for example, anybody anywhere in the world can, if they're interested in the Beatles, can go right onto your your podcast and listen to you. So it's kind of a cool thing, and you should think about doing it. And I've got people in mind who I think should get up. People that I know should get down here to Madison and do one. Somebody on the phone, Mike?
Yeah, Karen and Trish call.
Karen and Trish. Ha! I got two of them. Who is this?
This is Karen.
Karen, how are you?
Good. I wanted to call and wish you a happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow is your 1 year.
1 year anniversary. That's awful nice of you.
Well, thank you.
I didn't know exactly which date it was, but yeah, I knew it was November.
And do you remember your first song that you sang?
First song on the first show?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I don't think I do. What was it?
Could I request it because I know?
All right, sure.
Tracks of My Tears?
Ooh, that is a good song. I wish I knew that one. I think I forgot it this year.
No, you didn't.
I will certainly play that for you. Are you?
Well, you play it for yourself because that was your first song.
Oh, and you're not going to listen?
Well, if I hang up, and then I can hear it when I sign back onto Facebook.
Okay. Is that what?
So I'm going to hang up and let you talk to Trish, and I'll get back on.
All right, good.
Bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Is Trish, are you there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
You know what? This 5 o'clock time slot worked.
I'm so pleased.
Because you don't have to work after 5, do you?
That's true, exactly.
Well,
the reason why I was calling is, you know, it is so lovely to know that people have the ability to bring other people together and then just sit back and watch their friendship bloom and bloom.
Yeah.
And never in a million years did I think that, you know, that would happen. You don't think that. You hope that it would happen.
What, but when are you talking about our friendship?
I'm talking about Kurt.
Yeah.
You and Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how nice and enjoyable it has been to see you guys bond and really enjoy each other and mesh as musicians. It's just wonderful. And the give and take is so nice.
That is nice of you to notice. And I'll tell you something else where Kurt has been important. Is all my original songs that I wrote and recorded back in the 70s and 80s, he has put on YouTube.
Aww.
And all of the videos from the Robin Zander shows that I've been doing the last few years, he puts them up and seems happy to do so. He doesn't ask.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. And the thing about it is, what a generous gift.
Yeah.
I mean, really, to take the time to do it and want to do it and be happy to do it. And look at how much happiness it's brought you. Isn't that what friendship is all about?
Well, I guess so. I wouldn't know because I don't have any friends.
You do, you do.
No, but you are very nice to notice. And thank you again. About 3 years ago we stumbled into the keg and heard those guys?
Yep, you were recovering. You had a rare Saturday off, and you were recovering, and I said, hey, let's go see this band. And
recovering from what? Do you remember? I don't remember.
I do remember. You had a little throat surgery. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was when I had my my throat thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, what a treat that you can call the podcast
now. I'm so thrilled. I think you should try the 5 o'clocker again.
Oh, I'm going to. I think that's Mike doesn't like it, but I think we're kind of permanently there because, well, I'm kind of convinced because you were able to call.
Absolutely. I will certainly call again.
All right, hon. Nice talking to you.
I enjoyed the Barry Manilow melody. Very nice. Keep up the good work.
All right, hon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, I was going to show you one of the things that Kurt has put on the YouTube, and we only got a couple minutes, but this is an album that I made back in the 70s, and if you can see those two, I got two little boys there on the front. Can you see it? And on the back is, that's me on the whatever side of that is, with the cigarette and the long brown hair. But I was at a little Thanksgiving celebration, after Thanksgiving celebration last night, and my nephew told me that this album is now, you can buy it on eBay, $50.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
this album, my album, is on eBay for, he sold it for $50. Maybe the asking price is always something other than what it actually sells for. but I thought it was cool. And, you know, and I would have had boxes and boxes of these unopened if it hadn't been for a flood at my parents' house years and years ago where the boxes of old records were. But anyway, it's not a very good record. We got two more minutes. It's not a very good record. It's all songs that I wrote. And the first one's, the title song is about taking care of kids and treating kids right, bringing them up right. But there's also songs about Howard Hughes and the fighting in Belfast, and one song called "Hometown Dirty Bar," and lots of interesting stuff. And I didn't know anything about recording. We had done some recording, Robin and I, but we did this in one. The band went one day and recorded all the basic tracks. And then I went the second day and did all the overdubs and all the vocals. So, I mean, it was a rush job, and it's not very good. But being ignorant of a lot of effects made it a very clean record. You know, we didn't know how to make distortion guitars or weird keyboard sounds or anything like that. So it doesn't have any, and that makes it kind of timeless. It has piano and guitar and bass and drums, and that's about it.
A core rock.
Yeah. So if you do find this, and this is my only copy, so you can't have this one, but maybe you can go on eBay and look for Roundhouse Handle with Care. And I went by Brian Kent then because I didn't like my last name, Brian Beebe. Beebe was I used to get teased a lot. So I went by Kent when I was with Robin, too, Xander and Kent. But anyway, thanks for calling in, you guys. And I don't know how I got through that because I noticed that I was all through my notes about 25 minutes into the hour. So the rest of it was kind of just all crap. But anyway, stay tuned right now for the Mitch Hanks Show. 5 minutes. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to be here in 5 minutes. Brian Beebe, once again, Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness, MadisonTalks.com. See you next time.